Hello, this is Dick Hayden from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I shall be reading to you from Spare Times, the news and notes of the Raleigh Outlaws of January 11, 2019 by Ginger Rush. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and has been edited for currency, clarity, and time constraints. Next Saturday is the first annual CBA 9-pin and Scotch Doubles Tournament in Greensboro at All-Star Lanes, 910 South Holden Road, Greensboro. Bowling will begin at 10 a.m. and will be three games of 9-pin no-tap team competition and three games of Scotch Doubles. We will bowl scratch for this tournament, no handicap. There will be cash first and second prizes for teams and for doubles. There is the possibility that we will also have other prizes for the fun of it. This tournament is a fundraiser for the CBA General Fund, which will in turn help fund our next James Benton Memorial Tournament and Shootout, scheduled for November 1 through 3, 2019 in Wilmington, North Carolina. We will leave J.C. Park at 6:45 a.m. on Saturday morning and make our usual breakfast stop in Burlington. Due to the early departure, we will not bowl Friday, January 18, in Raleigh. We will make the night up on February 15, which is an open night on our schedule before what should be the Durham Sweetheart Tournament. In other words, we will bowl every Friday night in February. If we end up with another night of bad weather, we will have to bowl on Good Friday. So everybody, please pray that any snow we get comes from the beginning of the week. CBA's Mail-O-Graphic will be bowled during the month of February. Leagues should expect info on it by the end of next week, with the entry deadline at the end of January. Outlaws should plan to have their $6 in their lane envelopes no later than Friday, January 25. The SBBA Mail-O-Graphic will be bowled between February 1 and February 15. If anyone wishes to bowl in it, they must pay the $6 entry fee and their $6 SBBA sanction fee in the lane envelope no later than Friday, February 18. If anyone outside of Raleigh needs entry forms, please contact Ginger and she will forward them to you. National Tournament Hotel Information. The 2019 ABBA National Tournament will be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, May 29 through June 3, 2019. Our host hotel is the Sheraton Station Square Hotel, 300 West Station Square Drive in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The room rate is $105 per night plus 14% tax. This would equate to almost $120 per night. The hotel requires that when making your reservation, you are going to be charged the first night on your credit card. For this reason, each individual is responsible for booking their own accommodations. Should you need to cancel, you may do so up to 48 hours in advance in order to be refunded your deposit. Failure to cancel by this time will result in no refund. To reserve, please call 1-800-325-3535 and be sure to note that you are with the ABBA. SBBA Tournament Information. The bowlers in your league are invited to participate in the Southeastern Blind Bowling Annual Tournament. This year's tournament will be held in Hampton, Virginia, April 4, 5, and 6. Entry fees are $56 for singles, doubles, and teams, plus an additional $25 for the masters. Any outlaws who would like to enter should have their fees in the lane envelopes no later than Friday, March 8, and should include their $6 SBBA sanction fee. We will be staying at the Crown Plaza Hampton Marina. Included is a breakfast for up to two people per room per day. The rooms are $104 plus tax for either two double beds or one king bed with a sleeper. The phone number to call for reservations is 1-757-727-8914. And when making reservations, let them know that you are with the Southeastern Blind Bowlers Association to get the special rate. The cutoff date is March 14, 2019. Reservations made after this date will be at a higher rate. The bowling competition will be held at Century Lanes, 1519 Pembroke Avenue, Hampton, Virginia, 23663. The phone number is 1-757-722-2551. The scheduled events are as follows. Friday evening at 7 p.m., we will have a short meeting at the hotel. Everyone is welcome to come and participate because we value your opinions. Then at 8 p.m. until 10, there will be a hospitality room with light refreshments and plenty of socializing. At that time, you will be able to pick up your schedules. Saturday morning at 9 a.m., the bowling will begin with the team event. In the afternoon at 1 p.m., the Masters tournament will be held. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and noon, if needed, the tournament will conclude with the doubles and singles competition. If you have not sanctioned with SBBA and would like to attend the tournament, you can include your $6 fee with your entry. Important dates and other information. Tournament date, April 4, 5, and 6, 2019. Entry deadline, March 14, 2019. Cutoff date for statistical sheet information, March 1, 2019. Hotel, Crown Plaza Hampton Marina, 700 Settlers Landing Road, Hampton, Virginia, 23669. Phone number 757-727-8914. Room rate $104 plus tax per night. Hotel reservation cutoff date March 14, 2019. Bowling Center, Century Lanes, 1519 East Pembroke Avenue, Hampton, Virginia, 23663. Phone number 1-757-722-2551. Entry fees, regular tournament $56, master tournament $25. Make all of your checks payable to SBBA Tournament and mail them to Sandy McDaniel, 115 Powell Boulevard, apartment 14102, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32114. Attention bowlers, when you know you are going to be out, please let Sharon Benton know, even if it is at the last minute. We cannot guarantee a sub for you, but there is always a chance of getting one, but we have to know. Also, as soon as you need a night off, let Sharon know, even if sometime in the future, so that we can begin looking for subs. Are you job hunting? Sightly, not slightly, but Sightly Worn Thrift Store is looking for a manager. See Sharon B. for details. The person should have some vision, but does not need to be fully sighted. ABBA awards are given as follows. Single games over average, 100 pins over, 75 pins over, and 60 over for averages of less than 100. Two categories, silver and bronze. Silver, PM, 225 and over, TM, 175 and over, PF, 195 and over, TF, 155 and over, SM, 260 and over, SF, 230 and over. For bronze, PM, 215 to 224, TM, 165 to 174, PF, 185 to 194, TF, 145 to 154, SM, 250 to 259, and SF, 220 to 229. Triplicates and the following splits are as follows. 4-6, 4-6-10, 4-6-7, 4-6-7-10, 7-8-10, 8-10, 7-9-10, 7-9, and 7-10. If anyone bowls a game which qualifies for an award, please let Ginger know, preferably by email or a note, so that it can be requested. To benefit the CBY youth account, we have another raffle going on. The first prize is a $100 gift card. Second prize is a $50 gift card. And third prize is a homemade quilt. Tickets are $1, and we will draw for the winner at the Raleigh Outlaw Invitational next spring. You do not have to be present in order to win. See Jeff Tucker for tickets. Outlaw clothing. If anyone is in need of Outlaw shirts and jackets, please see Ginger. She needs 12 items to place an order. The price list is on the back page of your copy of these notes, and payment in advance is requested. And here from that back page is the following. All items may be ordered, embroidered, or screen printed, except for the jackets and silky polos, which are embroidered only. Embroidered items only have the small logo on the front. You may have a screen-printed logo on the back also. Please specify the vintage design of lettering only or the big pin design, which is the same as the front design, only larger. This year, we will have a standard T-shirt available in long or short sleeves, cotton tank tops, a basketball shooter top, a pullover, a hooded pullover, hooded zip front sweatshirts. There are two options for our regular polo shirts, the jersey knit, more like a regular T-shirt material, and a silky coach's shirt, which can be ordered in women's styles or a unisex style. All items will be royal blue with white lettering, unless specified, but can be ordered in white with blue lettering. Payment must be made when the order is placed, and see Ginger Rush to place your order. Top Tech Tidbits. We are reading the titles and descriptions of the top tech tidbits. You can check them out online. The associated internet web addresses are available by calling the Triangle Radio Reading Service at 919-832-5138. You can also subscribe to Flying Blind at www.flying-blind.com for a weekly email of tech tidbits along with classified ads for various pieces of equipment, screen readers, braille displays, etc. And now for the highlights for this month. Apple Viz Unlimited. What's new and noteworthy for December 2018? This is a monthly summary of Apple News. Tips for online shopping with disabilities, a website accessibility guide. This is a cross-disability article that may nonetheless offer some useful tidbits. 70 web accessibility resources for designing with inclusivity. Actually, it seems like there are 78 resources on web accessibility here, not just 70. A lighted cane on eyes on success. Episode number 1902 of the Eyes on Success features an effort to develop a lighted cane. The latest from Hartken Consultancy on Tech Talk. Learn about going-ons at Hartken Consultancy on Tech Talk, starting at 0100 on GMT, Tuesday, 15 January 2019. 1 o'clock Greenwich Median Time. Got to figure that one out. And the latest in narrator and ease of access. Windows insiders using preview build 18309 have access to narrator features the rest of us will presumably see in a few months. Improvement continues in Chrome navigation. It is far easier to add voices for other languages and dialects, and you can tab among all the controls in narrator home screen and more. NFB review of HIMS QBraille XL. The NFB gives this Braille device fairly high marks. 9 uses for Safari private windows. This MacMost article offers a coherent explanation of this feature. Podcast transcripts from Blind Abilities. Over 80 Blind Abilities podcasts have been transcribed, making the information available to those who cannot or do not want to listen to the program. How to fix Android accessibility settings that turn off automatically. This article from Guiding Tech provides a good solution for some mystifying settings issues. Amazon using proprietary charger on the dot. This brief post comments on what appears to be a step backward. iOS 12 edition of iOS Access for All has been released. This 168,000-word, over 700-page book covers everything related to accessibility in Apple's new OS. It is now available in EPUB and Apple format for $25. Google's new interpreter mode translates your conversation. Wired tells us about this latest Google Assistant capability. Google Assistant summary of 2018 progress. Google reports on what it feels like is new and better for the year in the Assistant. And what's new with FS training? This webinar will introduce us to Freedom Scientific's plans for training in 2019. It's going to take place on Thursday, January the 17th, and this is going to be another Greenwich Mean Time at 20:00 GMT, and you can register at that website. Another cool device from the headlines is WeWalk. The Consumer Electronics Show 2019 has started in Las Vegas, and among the 22 startup finalists that will pitch on stage at CES, competing at Richard Branson's Extreme Tech Challenge, that's XTC, and at the Showstoppers Launch It, the official competition for startups exhibiting at Eureka Park is WeWalk. WeWalk is the world's most revolutionary smart cane developed for visually impaired people. WeWalk has reinvented the white cane for the visually impaired. Based in Istanbul, Turkey, WeWalk's smart cane can detect obstacles above chest level using an ultrasonic sensor and vibrates to warn the user and gets navigation instructions without having to carry the smartphone in the hand. Each integration developed for WeWalk brings new features to WeWalk with software updates. WeWalk is integrated with Voice Assistant and Google Maps. So here's some things about the cane. Detects obstacles at head level with ultrasonic sensor. Direction and position detection. Vibrating alert feature. Connecting to smartphones with Bluetooth 4.2. Compatibility with Android 4.4 and iOS 10 and above. Customizable control with touch area. Voice control with microphone and speaker. Turkish and English language support. That's a good one. We need that. And about 5 hours of battery life with a 1,000 mAh battery. For more information about the cane, which is not yet being marketed in the United States, you can send an email to support@wewalk.io. And another, this one from the BBC, the blind woman developing tech for the good of others. It's really pretty much of an article. An accident in a swimming pool left Chieko Asakawa blind at the age of 14. And for the past 3 decades, she's worked to create technology, now with a big focus on artificial intelligence, AI, to transform life for the visually impaired. When I started out, there was no assistive technology, Japanese-born Dr. Asakawa says. I couldn't read any information by myself. I could not go anywhere by myself. Those painful experiences set her on a path of learning that began with a computer science course for blind people, and a job at IBM soon followed. She started her pioneering work on accessibility at the firm while also earning her doctorate degree. Dr. Asakawa is behind early digital braille innovations and created the world's first practical web-to-speech browser. Those browsers are commonplace these days, but 20 years ago, she gave blind internet users in Japan access to more information than they had ever had before. Now, she and other technologists are looking to use AI to create tools for visually impaired people. Let's begin with micro mapping. For example, Dr. Asakawa has developed NavCog, a voice-controlled smartphone app that helps blind people navigate complicated indoor locations. Low-energy Bluetooth beacons are installed roughly every 33 feet to create an indoor map. Sampling data is collected from those beacons to build fingerprints of a specific location. We detect user position by comparing the user's current fingerprint to the server's fingerprint model, she says. Collecting large amounts of data creates a more detailed map than is available in an application like Google Maps, which does not work for indoor locations and cannot provide the level of detail blind and visually impaired people need, she says. It can be very helpful, but it cannot navigate us exactly, says Dr. Asakawa, who is now an IBM Fellow, a prestigious group that has produced 5 Nobel Prize winners. NavCog is currently in a pilot stage, available at several sites in the U.S. and one in Tokyo, and IBM says it is close to making the app available to the public. It gave me more control. Pittsburgh residents Christine Hunsinger, age 70, and her husband Douglas, age 65, both blind, trialed NavCog at a hotel in their city during a conference for blind people. I felt more like I was in control of my own situation, says Mrs. Hunsinger, now retired after 40 years as a government bureaucrat. She uses other apps to help her get around and says while she needed to use her white cane alongside NavCog, it did give her more freedom to move around in unfamiliar areas. Mr. Hunsinger agrees, saying the app took all the guesswork out of finding places indoors. It was really liberating to travel independently on my own. A lightweight suitcase robot. Dr. Asakawa's next big challenge is the AI suitcase, a lightweight navigational robot. It steers a blind person through the complex terrain of an airport, providing directions as well as useful information on flight delays and gate changes, for example. The suitcase has a motor embedded in it so that it can move autonomously, an image recognition camera to detect surroundings, and a LIDAR, LIDAR, meaning light detection and ranging, for measuring distances to objects. When stairs need to be climbed, the suitcase tells the user to pick it up. If we work together with the robot, it could be lighter, smaller, and lower cost, Dr. Asakawa says. The current prototype is pretty heavy, she admits. IBM is pushing to make the next version lighter and hopes that it will ultimately be able to contain at least a laptop computer. It aims to pilot the project in Tokyo in 2020. I want to really enjoy traveling alone, and that's why I want to focus on the AI suitcase, even if it's going to take a long time, she said. IBM showed me a video of the prototype, but as it is not ready for release, the firm was reluctant to release images at this stage. AI for social good. Despite its ambitions, IBM lacks behind Microsoft and Google in what it currently offers the visually impaired. Microsoft has committed $115 million to its AI for Good program and $25 million to its AI for Accessibility initiative. For example, Seeing AI, a talking camera app, is a central part of its accessibility work. And later this year, Google reportedly plans to launch its Lookout app, initially for the Pixel, that will narrate and guide visually impaired people around specific objects. People with disabilities have been overlooked when it comes to technology development as a whole, said Nick McGuire, head of enterprise and AI research at CCS Insight. But he says that's been changing in the past year as big tech firms push hard to invest in AI applications that improve social well-being. He expects more to come in this space, including from Amazon, which has sizable investments in AI. We turn now to the calendar of events. WFB information provided by Robert Parrish, the Wake Federation of the Blind president. Mr. Parrish says the Wake Federation of the Blind has changed their meeting time. The location is at the usual location, Community United Church of Christ, 814 Dixie Trail in Raleigh. and it will still take place on the second Saturday of each month. Beginning with the meeting tomorrow, Saturday, January 12, the meetings will begin at 11 o'clock with lunch. I want to thank Lucy Radford for providing lunch for this first meeting, because we are having soup for lunch, and we will have our meeting in the fellowship hall of our meeting location. As usual, guidance to this location will be provided. The formal meeting will begin at 11:30. During this time, Miriam Dixon will read a selection from the kennel book, the Colonel, K-E-R-N-E-L book, Old Dogs, New Tricks, and discussion will follow. Also, we will talk about our goals and plans for this year, so please bring with you your brainstorms. As always, if you have questions or comments, please call me. My phone number is 919-616-1606, or email is rcp7@bellsouth.net. I hope to see all of you there. The GM SSA Inc. Notice of Winter Meeting. We received this following information from Tim Snyder, president of GM SSAI. The GM SSAI Winter Meeting will be on January 19 from 10 a.m. until 4:45 p.m. at the GMS Dining Hall. We invite you to attend our winter general meeting of the Governor Moorhead School Association, Inc. The meeting will be held on the GMS campus, 301 Ash Avenue in Raleigh. The event will be held in the GMS Dining Hall. We will deal with such topics as vocational rehabilitation and independent living services, disability awareness as it relates to technology, and presentations related to personal finance. We will provide a light lunch at 12 o'clock noon. My thanks goes to all who have and will make this year's meeting the success that it will be. Here's an outline of the events. 10 a.m., morning sessions, disability awareness issues. 12 o'clock noon, lunch. 1 o'clock p.m., business meeting. 2 o'clock p.m., afternoon sessions, personal finance topics. 4 o'clock p.m., refreshments and socializing. I hope to see you at this winter meeting, and thank you in advance for attending. Tim Snyder, President. For a listing of audio-described performances, please see the Arts Access website, https://arts.access.org. And the Raleigh Mayor's Committee for Persons with Disabilities will have its next meeting on Thursday, January 17, from noon until 1 p.m. The organization meets in room 305 of the City Municipal Building at 222 West Hargett Street, downtown Raleigh. Ricky Scott is now the Mayor's Committee Chair. His contact information, telephone number 919-673-8300, or send an email to Ricky at Ricky Scott, that's with two T's, rickyscott09@gmail.com. And the Wake Chapter. The Raleigh Wake Chapter, actually, of the North Carolina Council of the Blind is going to hold its regular meeting on the second Thursday of each month from 7 until 8:30 p.m. at Emmanuel Baptist Church located at 2110 Noble Road in Raleigh. Please contact Lawrence Carter at 919-856-0034 for more information about this group's schedule and activities. It's now time for recipes that will bowl you over from the Chuck Wagon Gang. A little hard to follow through on these just from the reading, so you might want to refer to the hard copy that you receive by email. But our first one up is Italian sausage soup with tortellini. The ingredients that you will need, 1 pound of sweet Italian sausage casings removed, 1 cup of chopped onion, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 5 cups of beef broth, 1/2 cup water, 1/2 cup red wine, 4 large tomatoes, peeled, seeded, and chopped, 1 cup of thinly sliced carrots. I don't want you cutting the cup, just the carrots. 1/2 tablespoon packed with fresh basil leaves. adding or going on 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, 1 8-ounce can of tomato sauce, 1 1/2 cups of sliced zucchini, 8 ounces of fresh tortellini pasta, 3 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley. We'll take all of that stuff together, and you're going to start with a 5-quart Dutch oven. And in that oven, you're going to brown the sausage. Then remove the sausage and drain it, reserving 1 tablespoon of the drippings. Sauté the onions and the garlic in the drippings. Stir in beef broth, water, wine, tomatoes, carrots, basil, oregano, tomato sauce, and sausage. Bring all that to a boil. Reduce the heat. And then simmer it uncovered for 30 minutes. Skim the fat from the soup. Stir in the zucchini and the parsley. Simmer covered for 30 minutes. Add tortellini during the last 10 minutes of the simmer. Sprinkle with Parmesan cheese on top of each serving and yum, yum. For a different taste, how about chili relleno dip? The ingredients for this: 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese softened, 1 1/2 cups of shredded Monterey Jack cheese, 6 ounces, 1 cup of shredded cheddar cheese, 4 ounces, 1 7-ounce can of diced green chilies, 1/2 cup of salsa, 2 to 3 tablespoons of queso fresco crumbles, and 2 tablespoons of chopped cilantro or parsley for garnish. Next thing up is to preheat that oven to 350 degrees. Place the cream cheese in a mixing bowl and cream it with a mixer until it is smooth. Add 1 cup of Monterey Jack cheese and 1/2 cup of the cheddar cheese to the bowl. Reserve 1/2 cup of each cheese for the top. Add the garlic powder and then beat it on medium speed until it's well combined. Stir in all but 2 teaspoons of the diced green chilies. Reserve the 2 teaspoons for the top. Spread the mixture into an 8-inch baking dish. Top it with the salsa, remaining cheese, and the diced green chilies. Bake it for about 20 to 25 minutes until it's hot and the cheese is melted. Remove it from the oven and sprinkle with queso fresco crumbles and chopped cilantro, and then serve it with chips, crackers, or bread. Now, a note that goes with this. An 8-inch cast iron skillet is great to bake and serve this party dip in. If you do not have an 8-inch baking dish available, you can make this in a standard 9-inch pie plate, but you will need to reduce the cooking time if you use a larger dish like a pie plate. It should take 12 to 15 minutes to heat thoroughly, completely, to heat all the way through completely in a 9-inch dish. For extra green chili flavor, add 2 cans of diced green chili. The diced green chili is very mild. If you want to have a spicy dip, then go ahead and add 1/4 teaspoon of chili powder or a dash of hot sauce. That one I might pass up because it sounds like it's a little warm, but you're going to have to fight me off for the next one. Caramel pecan cheesecake pie. Oh, boy. Here are the ingredients. 1 sheet refrigerated pie pastry. 1 package, 8 ounces of cream cheese softened. 1/2 cup of sugar. 4 large eggs. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. 1 1/4 cups of chopped pecans. And 1 jar of 12, that's about 12 1/4 ounces, of caramel ice cream topping. Additional caramel ice cream topping is optional. And in my book, I'd probably say required. Okay, what are we going to do with it? First of all, we got to heat that oven up again, this time to 375 degrees. Then line a 9-inch deep dish pie plate with pastry. Trim and flute the edges. In a small bowl, beat cream cheese, sugar, 1 egg, and vanilla until smooth. Spread into pastry shell. Sprinkle with pecans. In a small bowl, whisk the remaining eggs. Gradually whisk in caramel topping until it's fully blended. Pour slowly over the pecans. Bake for 35 to 40 minutes or until it's lightly browned. Loosely cover the edge with foil after 20 minutes if the pie is beginning to brown too quickly. Cool on a wire rack for 1 hour. refrigerate for 4 hours or overnight before slicing. If desired, garnish with additional caramel ice cream topping. And if you really want to do it right, give me a call on the phone. I'll come over and help you eat it, because that sounds absolutely delicious.